man upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Good morning. Well, the title is The Truth About Lies, subtitled The Double Mind. This is part two and the conclusion. A little girl was talking to her teacher about whales, and the subject gravitated to the Bible. The teacher said it was physically impossible for whales to swallow a person, because even though it was a very large animal, its throat was very small. The little girl stated that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. The teacher became a little irritated and reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human being. It was physically impossible. The little girl said, "When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah." And the teacher smugly asked her, "What if Jonah went to hell?" To which the little girl replied, "Then you can ask him." Well, this anecdote operates on several levels as to whether either party is right or wrong, carnal or spiritual, or even if it's funny and you did laugh. We hear much too often well-meaning Christians telling other Christians whether or not something is biblical without any inclination to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. Further information that will lead to a better understanding of the truth. I remember a friend of mine back in Washington State who went to the Assemblies of God Church, and we were talking about religious issues, and he said, "The Bible says when in Rome, do as the Romans." And I asked him if he was sure that that was in the Bible, and he reassured me, "Oh yes, it was there." You've probably heard the cliche, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing, meaning that a scrap of information can mislead people into thinking they have more truth than what they need. This can lead one to think of themselves as an expert who knows more than he thinks you ought to know. Well, the Word of God cautions us against this kind of pride because it usually precedes God's judgment for correction. Pride goes before a fall. We're not supposed to judge ourselves by our expertise or our wealth or vocation, but to form another standard of judging ourselves by our Christian character, led by the Holy Spirit. We're told not to think more highly of ourselves than what we ought to. So what do people do with the truth? Or the truth about lies? Well, some people become quite obnoxious or even violent or may even lie for the sake of a truth. But that would be counterproductive, wouldn't it? A Christian with moral standards, therefore, would trace the truth of God as its giver and apportion its blessings accordingly. With a humble spirit, let the truth be regarded as a gift from God and not something of our own creation, exciting pride and the conveyance of truth is immediately changed to gratitude. Well, these days there is a monumental disparity between what people believe and the truth. Just because someone believes something is true doesn't mean that it's the truth. And this is the great dilemma in awakening our people to the fact that they've been lied to, or what they believe to be true is in fact false. Any Christian worth their salt has heard the scripture that says, which was our reading this morning, that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What is meant here is not a hypocrite, but a fickle man with two souls or personalities that halt between two opinions and has no direction in life. He has succumbed to the authors of confusion who feed his head with contradictions, even subconscious suggestions, and therefore is wavering in the ability to make decisions. I think the difference between a double mind and a hypocrite is that the latter is a purveyor of conflicts between reality and fiction, which Jesus accused those of doing. Scribes, Pharisees, lawyers, woe to them all. Whereas the double mind is the recipient or victim of pretend evidence, what lawyers call hearsay, much like the believability of actors in a movie about the Holocaust. When we lose that singularity of purpose to, or the scholarship to rightly divide the words of Scripture, it affects our faith to let the work of patience and study furnish all that is necessary for our race and warfare. How many people lean under their own understanding for answers rather than going directly to God? As James 1, verses 3, 4, and 5 tells us, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, that giveth to all men liberally. Just ask God! But how many people don't have enough faith to believe that, or don't have the time or patience to let God respond to them in his own time? Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Do you realize how many distractions there are to this simple revelation? There must be a million. You think it's just a coincidence that there have been brutal attacks against the Christian identity movement, trying to disorientate our credibility and presentation of who true Israel is? It's difficult not to get discombobulated. I've been wanting to say that word for a long time. And lose our focus, our trust in the Lord, when we're told over and over again that we're so full of hate, that we're not real Christians. Well, there is a great price to pay for taking the unpopular view. Most people are more fearful of other people than being God-fearing Christians who hate the evil being done to the truth. Without realizing it, most people have a knee-jerk reaction to reject painful or taboo truths, even if deep down in their souls they think we might be right. The double mind. The problem in accepting the truth, however, is not in the mind, but in the spirit. God's will for us is to know His truth. But our mind must be motivated by something other than the declarations of man. Be ye not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How many people are willing to pay any price at the expense of their reputation or even their livelihood to know the truth of being right with God? The pendulum has swung so far to the deep recesses of people's comfort zones that they have reduced our Lord to a God of love, which is true, but at the expense of Him also being the God of segregation and discrimination, which is true. People don't know how destructive a God who loves everybody can be, or that it's not even true. This concept of unconditional acceptance and tolerance of the stranger and of strange gods has a closer resemblance to Hinduism. And there's a guy named King Asoka of India around the 2nd century before Christ who promulgated the creed of Dharma, which states one shall not condemn another religion or race by word or deed. Well, doesn't that sound like the modern church? But who is to benefit from such an edict? Well, everybody except the white Christian. That's who. You know, evil is not bound or restricted by the truth. Ministers can preach anything they want with impunity. They can lie and nobody's going to take them to court. In fact, just the other day I heard of this South African minister who had the audacity to say that Jesus had AIDS. Evil is at such a level of genius today that it is trusted just as much or more than God. Al Gore can get an Academy Award and a Nobel Prize for an inconvenient truth. And his cohorts at BP wouldn't intentionally cause a spill in the Gulf, would it? 9/11 couldn't be an inside job from the government itself, could it? Today's prefabricated lies can often outperform and outdebate those who simply tell the truth. They've got think tanks. We've got the truth. More people, I don't know if you've heard of this show, or turning to The Daily Show for news. From John Stewart, a Jew, who ridicules the truth with comedy. Stewart organized a counter-demonstration called the Rally to Restore Sanity against Glenn Beck's Restoring Honor rally. Both are actor hypocrites, and combined they form the double mind. In fact, Karl Marx developed this very technique of putting opposites against each other for a desired result. But try as they may, Jewish comedians or kosher conservatives are not the custodians of truth. From God's perspective, He made foolish the wisdom of the world. Now that's funny. This is what I'm getting at. There's a conspiracy. And I'm one of those conspiracy theory nuts, according to the priestcraft, the scribes, the Pharisees in political office. Judeo-Christians have been programmed like Pavlov's dogs, salivating at the ringing of a bell. Salvation at the ringing of bells. To act irrationally against any criticism of Jewish evils or evil Jews, even if it's the God honest truth. They construe the truth as cursing God's chosen people. For fear of God? No. For fear of anti-Semitism. How would you feel if you were told that you were born to serve an antichrist people who hate and revile Jesus Christ? Enter the double mind. For fear of Jews, the Judeo-Christians almost never study or research anti-Semitic claims to see if they're true. It doesn't matter to most of them if you have extensive documentation from the Talmud or Kabbalah or a Jewish encyclopedia or quotations from Jewish authorities themselves. Do they seek to find? Would they just love to know the whole truth, even if it cost them their friends and family or perhaps a congregation? What happens when you don't have a love for the truth? God sends what? Strong delusion. Well, aren't schizophrenics delusional? Well, that sounds like a double mind. A bumper sticker mentality that says, I break for two opinions. God allows lies to spread about himself and his true servant people so that we are compelled to make a spiritual decision as to who we will serve. Were you born to serve the Jew or God? People can go to the ADL or SPLC to get the sound bite on Christian identity, but it will be as far from the truth as the magic number of 6 million is to the Holocaust. If there are positive things that can come from believing the truth, maybe there are negative things that can come from believing what is not the truth. Believing the truth can have a powerful impact on your body, mind, and spirit. If you believe eating junk food is healthy, try eating McDonald's hamburgers and fries for about 3 or 4 weeks, and you may need an ambulance to the emergency room. It was news just a couple of weeks ago that fast food doesn't decompose after 6 months, even after 2 years. Garbage in, garbage out. The point is, there has always been a conspiracy to dissuade people from from believing what God has spoken for his people. God has food laws so that we don't pollute our body, so that our mind has a chance to renew and discern the spirit of things. God has laws on how to grow food. But the God Monsanto has no use for those laws. Why do we eat the food of our enemies? Food that will slowly kill us. Now, I'm guilty of that. I eat potato chips and ice cream, but I try and pick the healthy kind. Throughout history, there have been man-made religions and philosophies under the guise of Christianity. The Roman Catholic Church is probably the best known example. They have the appearance of truth and an aura of honesty. But had they actually promoted the truth, we would be living in the kingdom of God right now. Our race has blown the opportunity so many times that in the end, it will only be a remnant, the overcomers that bring forth the fruits of the kingdom. History is a conflict between the dominion mandate God gave to the Adamic race and the domination over the masses by a handful of non-Adamic mongrel elites. I have a little bit of knowledge, which I think you, my fellow white Christian Israelites, ought to know. But it may be a dangerous thing to be in possession of, being that the people whom Jesus called murderers and liars would lose their domination if too many people found out the truth about them in order for them to maintain the status quo. They will not hesitate to kill anyone who has a lot of knowledge about them and then proceed to lie about their exposure of themselves with impunity. But their lies are not ordinary. They are calculating and cunning. Bearing false witness is so repugnant to God that Revelation 21:8 says, "All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. Well, what does that mean? It means that some people's names will not be written in the book of life. And when they are resurrected from the grave, they will be judged and then cease to exist ever again. The second death. Even the theology of the afterlife has caused great consternation and distress from nefarious quarters, for no other reason than to inculcate the masses with fear and trepidation, and thus exercising the capacity to control whole segments of a given society. The selling of indulgences was the primary cause of the Protestant Reformation. The people finally had enough from the Catholic priests extracting monies so that their dearly departed could go to heaven. It was just a scam. The truth about lies will open our perception of the past and the doom and gloom of futurists, the liars of a rapture, and then it won't seem quite so bleak. I want us to take a look at history and the craft of domination as found in the double mind or theory of opposites. And what could be more opposite than the truth versus a lie? It cannot be disputed that the order in which the rise and fall of empires occurring has been in a specific, historically verifiable pattern from the ancient times of Babylon to the present. God has given us the verification in his prophetic word from the book of Daniel and the revelation of John. As James identifies the double mind, does it make sense then for us to believe that we should let God be true and every man a liar? Daniel described these empires symbolically as beast. My cat does not read the Bible, nor can it tell me if it scratches the sofa. I can read the Bible, and I can confess my faults. Our race was created by God as part of the animal kingdom, with the exclusive agency of God's Spirit breathed into our souls. So being agents of God, we can let God be true in our lives and in our society. But there are adversaries who attempt to create a communion between believers and unbelievers, between light and dark, not only racially but morally, between good and evil, and thus producing the double mind and a very unstable living environment. We cannot be unequally yoked together with those who embrace the destabilization of the truth. One of the earliest examples of systematic domination as applied to warfare was the Oriental general Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War approximately 500 years before Christ. He said the best way to win a war was not having to fight it. His thinking was that if you could cause dissension in the ranks of your enemy, you could divide and conquer. Mark 3:25 says the same thing. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Well, this could be done in many ways. But the easiest method was through the strangulation of resources. We see this today with printing presses going fast or slow, cranking out Federal Reserve notes, or the petroleum spigot being turned off and on with government subsidies and sanctions or oil spills. Our economy is geared to the false theory of peak oil and debt usury, far, far removed from doing things God's way. The beast empire of Rome was succeeded by the Holy Roman Empire, which held sway over the conscience of kings, dictating what they could and could not do for over 1,000 years. Papal Rome ruled up until 1798, when Napoleon's general Berthier invaded Rome and stripped all power from the Pope and the Catholic Church. This freed the mind of the people from the invasion of conscience, from which they had been victims for so long. Subsequently, the vacuum was filled with the age of reason and the age of enlightenment. And these were times of freedom of thought in areas of theology, philosophy, and politics, which all flourished. These periods of time were the culmination of the masses being imprisoned by ignorance and superstition all throughout the Dark Ages up to the Reformation era, when the minds of the common people began to be open to the idea of critical thinking and speaking out against the powers that ruled over them. The Protestant reformers held one common belief. They believed the Pope was the embodiment of Antichrist, and that the Roman Catholic Church was the great whore spoken of in Revelation. To combat this thesis, Pope Pius IV in 1560 put forth what was known as the Catholic Counter-Reformation. And by this time, the Vatican had lost some entire countries to the Protestants as their membership dwindled due to massive efforts by the reformers disseminating anti-Catholic tracts and leaflets. Likewise, the Catholics countered through literary means in an effort to make Protestant arguments appear to be unsound, with the intent to cause dissension in the Protestant ranks. It was a divide and conquer strategy. They appointed Jesuits to be in charge of injecting alternate methods of understanding prophecy in an effort to cause confusion. Jesuits have a sordid history of pretending to be Protestants. Adam Weishaupt, the son of a Jewish rabbi, was trained by the Jesuit order starting at the age of 7. He detested Christianity. He sought to create a secret society within another secret society, the Illuminati within Freemasonry. He was instrumental in fomenting the French Revolution. Let us understand that each of the beast empires in the Bible succeeded each other with the trappings of the former power, so that the final prophetic world power in the last days would be a culmination of the previous adversaries of God and the white race. Their success and identity would be a mystery to most of the common people, because once again, their minds became captive. For by their sorceries were all nations deceived. Without getting into the complexities and novel intrigue of these secret societies, the Jesuits, the Illuminati, the Freemasons, the Vatican, the learned elders of Zion, etc., all shared a common practice whereby the ends justify the means. In other words, they lied. Regardless of what you think these beasts represent, they are worshipped in place of God. He that exercises all power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Many people think that's speaking about the Roman Catholic Church. The first victim of war is the truth, because lies can kill, and war is about killing people. Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction. The allegation that he purchased yellow cake uranium from Niger were forged documents. The kind of lying goes on all the time. Standard operating procedure. In newspeak, it's called plausible deniability. In fact, Jewish communism codified it by playing a little game called dialectics, dealing with opposites in nature, in the nature of thesis pitted against antithesis, culminating in synthesis. Webster's defines dialectic as a continuous unification of opposites. It is said that dialectics is similar to the centuries of philosophy, with the same basic idea that everything is in constant change as a result of inner strife and opposition. However, my Bible says, "For I am the Lord, I change not, O descendants of Jacob, so you are not destroyed." During the 19th century, a pattern of thought was emerging that 100 years later would declare God is dead. If we look in the right places, we can witness the truth about the momentum of lies coming to fruition in this generation right now. Friedrich Hegel is credited with forming the theory of opposites, which he called the dialectic. His idea pertaining to an elite government was sort of a hive mind for the rest of humanity, which ironically has been popularized by science fiction, such as the Borg. Hegel believed that God is in all things, and everything is God, a foundational basis for Middle Eastern and Oriental philosophies. Karl Marx, a Jewish atheist whose father was a rabbi, comes on the scene in the mid-19th century and reinvents the dialectic, which becomes completely godless for the godless utopia of communism. Hegel thought government itself could have its own soul or group mind by breeding out and socially engineering unwanted qualities of society for future generations. Marx, on the other hand, believed in brute force to eliminate those who would not fit in with their plans. Who or what would stand in their way? It would be the white Christian. Marx didn't believe anything was supernatural and challenged the existence of a soul that is spiritual in any way. He concluded that all of our thoughts, memories, ideas, decisions, beliefs, etc., were nothing more than electrical impulses made in our mind, which in turn was material. Thus, dialectical materialism was born with Marx's little bit of knowledge, which would become one of the most dangerous weapons formed against mankind. However, we have this promise from the Word that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. If we have no spirit, this in effect disconnects us from God, which was Marx's intention, being a Jewish atheist, and devalued life as a whole. It was this disregard for life that rationalized and ignited the diabolical mass murder during the Russian Revolution that killed 10 million white Christians. A lie had to be concocted in order to quell the Christian backlash to such an outrageous genocide of our race. And sure enough, the inflated numbers of the Holocaust were ordained to eclipse all other persecutions known throughout the annals of time. Wouldn't it be fitting if every Jew got an Academy Award? The double mind has been set in concrete ever since the notorious Nuremberg trials. It has enabled Esau Edom to develop the hive mentality, to brainwash societies around the world to stomach the extermination of people for whatever reason, believing it was necessary in order to make the world safe for democracy, or whatever other lame cliche Madison Avenue could dream up, which in reality made the world safe for Antichrist Jews and their co-conspirator race traitors. Amen. It wasn't an inconvenient truth, it was a convenient lie. All they had to do was create a media monopoly to sell the good guys and the bad guys, grounded in the theory of opposites, to form the double mind. Once they get the dog to salivate every time it hears a bell ring, all they have to do is call you a Nazi or a racist. And for fear of the Jews, the accused pleads mercy that they don't destroy him. But if you fear the Antichrist more than God, you are already accounted for slaughter, being void of God's Spirit and possessing the double mind. The double mind has possessed your thinking, and you and your society are unstable in all your ways.